Playing Full Out. I'm your host, Augie Bylot, and this is where we explore success, fulfillment, and the power of purpose. Each episode is dedicated to meeting and learning from people who are not only making money, but making a difference. Whether it's lifting others, providing access to services, or whatever their passion, we are believers in the concept of enlightened wealth, success that serves others. My three primary mantras are play full out, the T principle, which is taking effective action, and three, service and gratitude is more than a platitude. On these podcasts, you'll meet many amazing people from all walks of life, and today's special guest is Andrea Aylett-Hosch, attorney, partner in Commonwealth Trust Services, licensed realtor, and an amazing mom to four fantastic kids. Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Hi, Augie. I'm good.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And when you think about the word success, what does that conjure up in your mind?
Well, success for me, I think, has changed a lot over the years. I know early on, you introduced me as an attorney. That's kind of my first career path. And I went through college, through law school immediately. Graduated with a law degree, got a job and another job and another job. And I think back then, that was my idea of success. It was centered around my career and sort of achieving those kinds of goals. As life moves forward, my idea of success has changed over the years. Obviously, then I went into get married and moved on to have children. And all of a sudden, my goals were changing and having my children act and be in a certain way, that was my idea of success back then. And then, of course, during my 30s, we were growing a business. And I think my goals and aspirations were all around, how great can our business be? What's our next house going to look like? And I think in my mind, some of those were definitely represent success to me. Mm-hmm. But with age and through my journey as it's unfolded, I think now my paradigm has really shifted, I'd say, over the past really 6 years, although the past 15 years have been an integral journey that's led me to that revelation. And success is really different for me now. Now it's more about the relationships, what I can do to help other people, sort of what my, instead of how it's impacting me, maybe financially, which I think a lot of people look at success as financial, I'm looking at it more as how am I helping someone or helping people in daily basis to better their lives, and in turn, I'm bettering mine in doing that. And that's kind of a long explanation, but I don't think I can just define success quickly.
Well, you defined it as something that's more evolutionary, I think, than revolutionary. Our definition of success can evolve over time. I remember when my definition of success was going from $12,000 a year to $15,000 a year in income. And boy, that was a very narrow definition, and it wasn't even an accurate definition. So I think it is, as you said, it's one of those things that evolves as our life unfolds. What would you say might be, the biggest factor that's helped you relative to achieving success? And I think you've been successful in a number of areas. One is certainly business, but, your kids are amazing as well. You've really juggled family and finance in an amazing manner.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think my kids are my biggest success. I mean, that's what I would say I'm the most successful at, is being a mom. And I think, I have four great kids, and I certainly didn't do that alone, raise them alone. There was a lot of family members around me helping me, and I think the most integral difference to me has been my faith. As a single mom, I've been a single mom for about 10 years, but even before that, I was always a faith-based person. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's always been the center of my life. But that relationship has evolved over time. I think that's the guiding force in my success as being a mom. And I think my kids would agree with that too. They've certainly told me lots of times that they, you know, they appreciate just the way they were raised and the fact that I made that important in our lives, and that was done early on as a family as well with their dad. So I would say my faith, yeah, has been the most integral thing to me.
Okay, can you maybe give an example of how your faith has helped lead you either on the path to success, or maybe, you know, even avoiding, you know, certain challenges, or how it helped you maybe deal with certain challenges where some people might just fold their tent and, you know, go on their merry way, and yet you've worked your way through a lot of things.
Sure. I mean, I think I have a lot of probably long examples. I guess your, you know, your faith grows as you transition through things and you struggle through things. And I don't care how much money you have, you're going to have struggles in life. And the way that you get through those sort of defines, I think, your success. How do you react to those struggles? With me, it's always involved a lot of prayer, a lot of seeking, a lot of being in the Word of God. And then really, you know, when you pray about things, it's also, you have to listen to sort of what your spirit is telling you. And I think through that, I've been guided through so many struggles in such a personal way and with my Savior. And in the past 10 years, I mean, I got separated and divorced probably about 10 years ago. That was obviously a really big challenge and struggle that I've worked through. And I really clung to, you know, prayer and the Word of God through that time. And I certainly was not perfect during that, but I think as a overall, the Lord gave me the strength to react to a lot of negative situations during that time in a positive way. And I really think too, that's one of the reasons that, you know, my children have, you know, are really stable and well-functioning today as adults. And all four of them are adults, even though my youngest one's just going to be going into college. And then I think later on, as, you know, sort of my current career, if you will, has evolved, that's been also been through a lot of prayer. I think the Lord directing me to connect with certain people, you, number one. I know you're going to have Greg Bond on here later on. I've known Greg for years and years and years, and I know he was an integral person, he and his wife, and sort of getting me invested in the real estate community. He helped me buy my first rental properties. He's also, you know, Jane and Greg are godly people. You're probably going to hear a little bit about that from him. So he, the Lord kind of puts you with the people that you need to be with to help you progress on your journey.
Okay, well, now let's kind of shift it from, I guess, the faith application to maybe habits that you've developed that have contributed to your success, because you model success really well.
Yeah, I think probably my number one habit is in the morning, and I know this has to do with faith, but it also doesn't have to be. If you're not a person of faith, just getting up every morning, sort of focusing your mind, maybe taking some time to meditate, think about what your day is going to have before your day gets started. So it's I know that's something that really helps me when I miss those times. Obviously, doesn't happen every day. I'd like for it to happen every day, but the days that it doesn't, I can usually tell. You know, I didn't have that sort of that morning devotional time, that time to sort of set myself and give me that mental and emotional energy that I need to get through the day. Probably the number two thing for me would be being responsive to people. I think in this line of business, and almost every line of business, if you are not responsive to your customers and your colleagues that you're working with, and when I mean say responsive, I mean you get back to them quickly, professionally, and if you can't answer their question, you let them know, hey, I'm going to get back to you. So I really think that's important when you're, especially in a fast-moving business like real estate. You know, you have to be on it. And if you can't be on it that minute when somebody reaches out to you, then let them know that you're going to be getting back to them. And I think another thing that goes along with that, and I always strive to to do is to be professional in your communication. We obviously, we're all going to have ups and downs in our days, and you're going to have times when you need to vent. You need to vent in a sort of a safe place, maybe in your little office environment. You know, maybe at home you have someone you work with, maybe it's your spouse, and you can talk to them about the struggles and the issues and the frustrations. But you don't do that with your customers, and you don't do that with your the colleagues that you're working with on, you know, deals, or maybe someone that's coming to you for advice. That's not the right venue for that. So I think portraying that professionalism, even when sometimes inside you might be feeling frustrated. So a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this too, you know, the first thing that pops into your mind, you want to push out there, and that's not always wise.
I think what I just took away from that segment are three really good points. One is planning your day, you know, meditating, anticipating, thinking about setting intentions.
Right.
Is that fair, setting intentions? Mm-hmm. Two is being responsive. And the value in giving others the same kind of treatment that you would like to receive.
Exactly.
In terms of being responsive and not leaving people kind of hanging in the lurch. And then number three is to be professional. And not to kind of wear your heart on your sleeve when you're in a business setting.
Right.
Is that a fair way to express it?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. I think those three are really good, really good. So have you made any mistakes along the way that you might want to share?
Sure. Of course, I've made lots of mistakes. I know that I can narrow it down to one big one. I know I've always made mistakes, I think, when I rush into things. In this business, there's a tendency to, okay, I want to get that next deal. I want to be the one that gets it. So let me make this offer instead of, you know, thinking about or going with the one that you already thought through, or even with, you know, renovation budget and those types of things. Those are the things where really planning comes in and restraint. And I think whenever there's a lack of restraint and you rush into doing something, and that's in every area of life. I mean, that's happened to me, you know, with my children. You know, when you rush to have them do something because you think this is the right thing to do, this is what all the other kids are doing, without really, you know, sitting down to think through the consequences and the costs of that activity. Or even a lot of times it's happened to be on vacation. You know, you're in vacation mode, you want to see this, you want to see that, and you're rushing, you all of a sudden you lose your purse because you're in such a hurry. So I think that's my biggest challenge, is being in a rush. And, you know, I think that, back to my faith, I've been worked on over the years on that, just kind of slow down. That mm-hmm. comes to trust. You have to trust your instincts. You have to trust your preparation. And you have to just come to the point where you're like, you know what, it's okay if that doesn't happen, because I know I'll be ready for the next best thing.
I like that idea of trust. Okay. What would you say might be the hardest decision you've ever had to make, and how did you go about making it?
The hardest decision I've ever had to make. I'm not sure if I could pinpoint one. Mm-hmm. Definitely there's been a lot of hard decisions that I've had. Some are, you know, heartbreaking decisions that you sometimes are forced to make because of the circumstances that you have. Mine always goes back to a lot of prayer. And I think then, after you've made that hard decision, the important thing is to move through the decision. Because mm-hmm. you can make the decision. It's funny, I just heard a minister say over the weekend, and something that I listened to, they said, you know, after you make a hard decision, it's not peace that you feel right then. You think, okay, I've made that hard decision, now I have such a peace. Now that's relief, because yeah, now I've made the hard decision. Mm-hmm. But now the peace is going to come through the journey. And that's how I think you build your character after you've made that hard decision, how you persevere through what it's going to take to get past it or get to the other side of that journey. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it sure does. What would you say is your greatest learning to date? Or something that might have evolved into a life philosophy or your mantra?
I think one of the biggest things that I've taken away through over the years is don't sweat the small stuff. I know when I was in my 20s and my 30s, it was all about, you know, first it was all about perfection in my career and making sure everything was just right. And, you know, then I got married and I wanted to have the perfect house and the perfect this. And then the kids were born and they all had to look just so. And I think over the years, I don't know if it's with age or with busyness or something, but you realize that all those little things aren't important. And if you're sacrificing a relationship in order for things to have perfection, or whether it be business relationships or personal relationships, it's just, it's not worth it. And so you have to ease up on those small things and you have to pick your battles, if you will. So some things are important and they are worth going to bat over, and then other things aren't. And it's okay sometimes to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to let that go because that's not going to affect the goal that I'm trying to accomplish here.
Mm-hmm. Let me take it in another direction. Do you have a role model?
I've been asked that several times over the years. I think in interviews that my kids have to do, you know, through school, mm-hmm. I've been asked, do I have a role model? And, you know, I really don't have a role model that I would stick to and say, that's the person I always look to. Mm-hmm. I had great, wonderful grandparents, godly Christian people, and I've thought of them over the years several times, you know, as you go through struggles. Of course, my parents are great support, wonderful people. But overall, as I've already talked about, I look to the Bible and to Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate example. Of course, he was perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But luckily, the Bible gives us so many people that weren't perfect. And one of my favorites is Joseph. He's probably my all-time favorite just because he had so many struggles, and all of those struggles really weren't any fault of his. But yet he always reacted to them with character, with integrity. He persevered, and he persevered with grace. I mean, he mm-hmm. sat in prison and waited for his time to be discovered when he was forgotten. He wasn't ever bitter about it. So I think that's, if anything, that's been a model for me, is to persevere through the struggles, through the hard times, try to do it with some grace, and hopefully come out with a little better character than I had at the beginning.
Well, they say that struggle doesn't necessarily create character, but it certainly reveals it. And perseverance with grace, I really like that. That's very telling. And knowing you as I do, that would actually kind of sum you up pretty effectively too. Perseverance with grace. What's the best advice you would give somebody that is, and you can choose if you have a preference, someone starting out their career, or maybe someone transitioning toward the end of their career? What kind of advice might you be willing to share?
Okay, well, if it's career advice, I would say that developing or putting in strategies and goals towards obtaining passive income would be early on, as early as you can, as early as you discover that jewel, mm-hmm. Do it. Because I think that's one of the things that I wish I had known back in my, you know, 20s when I started working. You know, everybody set you up with a 401k and those kinds of things. But if I had been introduced to real estate and the light bulb had gone off and I had to take advantage of that introduction, I wish I would have done that then, because I think now, you know, I'd have so much more in the way of passive income at this mm-hmm. stage of my life. I look at a lot of the younger people that come to the, you know, real estate events that I attend, and I love that. I'm excited for them. And I think if they really take this to heart at this stage, they're, you know, they're just opening their oyster early, and it's gonna be great for them.
Yeah, so multiple streams of income, I think, is one of the most important things that people need to learn. And tragically, it's not part of the American educational system. But regardless of age, multiple streams of income should be included in your life plan, at whatever age you might be, because it's never too late to begin, as you well know from folks in our community. If you could start all over again, is there anything you might do differently?
I think I've already touched on a couple of the things that I would do differently. I definitely would not sweat the small stuff as much. Thankfully, through, you know, because I've been so blessed, my children have turned out great in spite of me. But I wish early on that I had given them a little more grace and mercy. And that just, I think, just comes with learning. My oldest son probably got the brunt of that because, you know, the first one's kind of your guinea pig. But luckily, he's a fantastic young man. He's working hard, and he has noticed the real estate effect on my life. Of course, he's gotten to meet a lot of great people that are involved in the community, including you, and he's excited about getting into that early. So I'd say that is one of the things that I think I would have changed, is not sweat the small stuff. And then the other thing I've already touched on is try to get into the real estate realm a little bit earlier. And maybe also, you know, along with being in real estate, you also listen to a lot of things about being debt-free. And I think that is another thing that I would have worked hard on early on is, you know, in my 20s and 30s, it was all about, okay, I can't wait to get into the house of my dreams, and I can't wait to have this kind of car, and, you know, because that, like I said earlier, that kind of was success in my mind. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can adopt the mindset early on that, you know what, it's okay to sacrifice now, better to sacrifice now, live below our means, and save for the future. And, you know, be investing into what you're going to reap 20, 30 years from now. And it's hard to do that when you're in your 20s and even 30s. But I wish now that I'm at the age that I'm at, my life would be a little bit different if I had made the sacrifices back then.
Well, that's always true. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. And, you know, I remember when I was told, you know, when I got my first corporate job, my retirement date. Well, that date has since passed, but it seemed back then it was about 100 years into the future. And so it's one of those things that definitely takes some teaching and some learning. And those that learn it sooner than later tend to do much better in life. Now, one of the other things that I find fascinating about you, with everything that you have going on, with four amazing kids, a number of different business enterprises, you still find time to give back. You know, what is your favorite way to give back?
My favorite way to give back would probably be something that I don't get to do very often. And I love to travel. So I love to go on mission trips. And I've only been on, I think, two over, you know, my adult life. So I really like to do more of that. Just don't have the time right now. Mm-hmm. But I think just serving, in, you know, obviously monetarily, I want to do that, but also trying to get involved with local ministries, since I can't travel to do those, you know, those kinds of missions trips right now. I think local ministries is important. I have a ministry right here in Longwood near our office that I support, the Esther Single Women's Ministry. So I think if you know, pick something that is kind of close to your heart and just sort of be all in. And by that, I don't mean, you know, you don't spend 24 hours a day, but sort of, mm-hmm. you know, you pick one that you know that when you do have the time, you're going to focus the energy that you do have and the available time that you do have and resources in that. I also am a big fan of the Charity of Love. So I like to get back to that. And one of these days I'm going to make it on one of those missions trips. I'm excited about that.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about Esther's House, is it?
Yes, it's Esther's Single Women's Ministry. It's right over here in Longwood. And they They actually write over here in their small location, their dreams and goals are to have a larger location because they do a lot of online Bible studies right now with the women, but they also bring moms in. And you know, they actually teach them how to better provide for their children, how to learn certain skills so that they might be more marketable out in the, you know, the world for job purposes as well, for employment. So obviously these are a lot of women that for whatever reasons, you know, they're left raising children on their own and at all different ages. In fact, sometimes, you know, there's older teenage children. In fact, they take clothing donations and they take all sizes, including men's, because, you know, there's a lot of 14, 15, 16 year old young men that are large.
Yep.
So they have a need for that. They take household items. You know, they help to help these women live up their standard of living. And by that, you know, there's lots of things I know that we have around the house. In fact, I was just at the social media talk last night, and Vinny Girassi was talking about the Facebook Marketplace. So there's lots of things out there that people are giving away for free, nice things. And those are the kinds of things that this Esther's Ministry can use in order to help help these women better their lives and the children. They have a website, and I think if you just Google Esther Single Mother, Singles Mom Outreach, it will come up in Longwood, and you can actually make donations right at their location.
Well, great. We would certainly encourage folks to do that. I guess the last question that I have for you would be, if you were encouraging someone about the idea of playing full out, how would you go about that? How would you tell somebody to play full out, what that might mean from your perspective?
From my perspective, playing full out is perseverance towards your goals. And along the way, when you persevere, a lot of times you've got to bring other resources into it in order for you to get to your goals. And that's a good thing. So you're going to do education along the way. You're going to involve other people in that. I don't know of anybody that gets somewhere totally on their own. I mean, it takes a village typically for our success. So you have to leverage other people. Maybe you're helping them and they're helping you. And basically joining a community that's going to help make you successful. And I think for me, you know, I joined the PACT community very early on in my real estate, my real estate journey. And that's really made all the difference because it surrounded me with like-minded people with like-minded goals. And it's helped me persevere. When I get discouraged, I can, dial into some of them or one of them and get the encouragement that I need to move past the hurdle that I'm at. So that, I think that's playing full out to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you've shared some great nuggets. Three particular tips: plan it when it comes to your day, be intentional, be responsive, and be professional. And that can certainly help folks to advance their careers and also build better relationships because you're going to be much more credible. You talked about an amazing concept that I want to embrace more of, the idea of perseverance with grace. You know, I think in our culture, everybody's looking to do things quickly, and sometimes we step over people, either intentionally or unintentionally, and that's the antithesis. And the last thing that you said that I think was really helpful is the idea of that even in the world of our success and our growth and our personal development, it takes a village. You know, people do need to rely on others. You know, somebody once said, no man is an island, and I guess it goes for no woman is an island either. And if we work together, we can really have a great impact. And Andrea, I want to say it's been a pleasure having this conversation with you today, because I know you and I know that you always play full out, whether it's being a mom, whether it's helping with Esther's house, whether it's in business or even in your social relationships. You are a superstar, and I thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Augie. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. And if anybody wants to ever get in touch with you, do you want to share any contact information?
Absolutely. Yes. They can email me at aandhproperty, singular, so aandhproperty@gmail.com. If they're interested in what we do at Commonwealth Trust Services, placing your property into a trust for privacy purposes. There's also a lot of other benefits that come along with that. You can find out more about that at www.yourlandtrust.com. And then I can be reached in that business at my email of Andrea@commonwealthlandtrust.com. And my office number is 407-755-1010. And you can reach me for all purposes there. That's the land trust office. And also you can call me about anything else real estate related. I also represent buyers and sellers in the retail market as well.
Terrific. Well, Andrea, once again, thank you so much. This has been great. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And to our viewers, remember, always play full out.